All right, Mr. Wills, please open us in prayer this morning.
Well, let's all go to God together in prayer. Oh, Father, we're so thankful that you are our God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Praise be to your name. Yes. For you are holy and righteous and pure. And Lord, you love us so much. We just thank you. Father, as we humble our hearts right now, submitting our wills to you, we're asking, Father, that you would please receive us and be with us and lead and guide and direct every aspect of this service, Father. For we need you. For you are truly our one defense, our righteousness. Oh, God, how much we do need you. So have your will today, Father, and all that will take place. You are our King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes.
Father, would you please, Father, forgive us of all unrighteousness. Each and every one of us that are on the call now, those that may be listening later, those that may call in at a later time, forgive us and cleanse us, Lord, so that we can be pure and holy in your presence. Fill our spirit, Lord, with your Holy Spirit today. Remove all anxiety, all doubt, all stuff that's in our lives that we are attempting to do in this day, Lord. Just remove it, Lord, right now, and let the peace of you be in our hearts and our minds and our soul, so that, Lord, we can truly just lay at your feet and hear from you. Holy Spirit, have your way today. Bless Jeanette as she brings forth your word on this Palm Sunday. All that that means, all that that represents, all that it is, Lord, we just bow down to you, Lord Jesus, for you made the awesome sacrifice. You knew what you were here to do. And, Lord, we thank you for it. So, Lord, today, please bless the reader, Alexandra, and whoever else will read today, Lord. Bless them, Lord, the words will come through crystal clear to our hearts, Father, not just to our heads.
Yes.
But, Lord, we will receive it in the way that you want us to receive it. We bless you, Lord. We ask that you would bind any distraction, any chaos, confusion in the homes that the ones will be listening in or calling in or whatever it may be, Lord, that they can clearly hear from you. Have your way, Father. In the name of Jesus, have your way today. We bless you and we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Richard.
All right. Today is Palm Sunday. And we all know the story. And this is 6 days before Passover. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Jews have a big celebration that goes on from 1 week to the next, of all in preparation for the Passover. And we know what the Passover is. The Passover was celebrated every year and ordered to be celebrated, which is, somebody tell me what the Passover is.
That's when the spirit of death passed over by
when,
the blood. That was put on
the Israelites were in Egypt, and when Moses went to Pharaoh, and that was the last plague that was going to come, and that, so they were instructed to take blood of the lamb and put it over their doorpost, so when the angel of death came over, it would pass over the houses of the Israelites.
And the Lord asks us, absolutely correct, and the Lord asks us to do this, or in Judaism, it's still practiced in today. And why is this practiced? Why would the Lord tell you to keep doing this every single year?
In remembrance of him. Remembrance of his sacrifice.
Well, if the Passover represented the blood on the door and death passing by the Israelites, why is he asking the Jews to remember this?
Oh, the actual act of the angel passing over? Well, he defeated death at the cross, but I don't know.
This happens 4,000 or 2,000, where death passes over the Israelites through the blood on the door of a lamb that they were told, because this is the night that God is going to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians. And every firstborn of the Egyptians dies, but nobody in the camp of the Israelites die. God's asking us to remember this the same way he asks us to remember the resurrection years later. Because we have a tendency to forget. You would say, well, how could you ever forget? Well, the generation that went through that passed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Matter of fact,
right.
They died in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Because their memory fuse was so short, they forgot before Moses got out the mountain with the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to forget. So the Lord put this in place for them to practice and then to remember. And so all of the Jews are still practicing. And they're doing all of what they were commanded to do because the new covenant was not here yet.
Mm-hmm.
There was no new covenant yet. They're still waiting for who? The Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
The Messiah, they know that the Messiah has been prophesied, but they're still waiting for him, even though he's standing right in front of them now. Okay, we're going to start in John. The Gospel of St. John, starting at chapter 12, we're going to start at verse 1.
Oh,
Gospel of okay. St. John.
Hold on, let me make sure I have the right, hang on one second. Gospel of St. John, yeah, I want it, because John has so many books. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, the gospel is only what's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what the gospel is.
But you want First John?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you want the gospel. Okay.
Gospel
okay.
Fourth book.
So if it's not John 1, it's just John. The gospel of John is just John.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Always get confused on those.
There's only four gospels. The Gospels are the account of what Jesus was doing here on earth. So it's only Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The rest are not Gospels.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they call them Gospels?
Because it's the account of what Jesus was doing here on earth.
Like gossip?
I don't know, Richard, if it's derived from the word gossip or not. I don't know.
I feel the spirit of annoyance.
Oh, that was cool.
Please.
She's working on that. In Jesus Christ's name. Okay, here we go. John 12. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judah Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me."
Let's stop
when
there.
All the, that was
stop awesome. There for a second.
Sure.
Those of you who are going to be and may have started entering into your ministry, your calling, your walk, your purpose, your destination, and your destiny. Jesus picked the 12, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jesus was fulfilling his purpose here on earth, and he knew what his purpose was because he was more than familiar with the scriptures concerning the Messiah, and he knew he was the Messiah. Now back to you and I. Be aware. Now Jesus, again, knew who he was selecting and knew how this outcome was going to be. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew all of this. But I'm going to say to those of you in ministry and entering into ministry, please be careful who you walk with.
Mm.
I have had a problem with it my whole life because I sometimes really want to see past the evil and believe that there's good.
Yeah.
And believe that the person is in, you know, process. Aren't we all in process? Of course we are.
Sure.
But when you have a ministry that is assigned to you, you must be careful in those that you walk with. There's a saying, keep your enemy, your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yeah, amen.
Personally, I don't think it's a great idea to embrace closely enemies. Sometimes you're in a situation like David was with Joab.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like he can't get rid of him because he has so much influence now. But he didn't always have that much influence. Be careful who you're walking with on this journey. Be very careful because they can hinder your work. They can stifle you.
Amen. Received. Receive.
They will pretend sometimes to have your best interest at heart, appear to be on the same page, but Jesus calls them out, but this is the end.
Mm.
Jesus already knew. Jesus knew he was stealing all the time. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you're in ministry and somebody's walking with you, and they're really not on your page. They don't really support you. They're there, but they're more there to see how this is going to turn out or to dog your steps.
Mm.
And I have made this mistake time and time again where the person was very talented or the person, you know, seems to have what I need.
Yeah.
They're very good in the support area. They sound so supportive. They get me. They understand my purpose. They understand it.
Yeah.
But they're majorly dangerous. You can't keep inviting that into the pen. Your ministry is going to be predicated on what God has called you to do, but then your part is to protect the ministry he's given you.
Amen.
Let me give it to you in another way, and then I'll move on from this, because I don't even know why I'm here. But
God knows.
When God gives you a child, it is your job to nurture, develop, protect, take care of that child. God gave it to you.
Yes.
He entrusted you with it. How much more also your ministry?
Yes.
If it means, children of the living God, that you have to walk by yourself for a while, be willing to do so, because God may be preparing who he's going to have walk with you.
Preach. Yes. Yeah.
Don't just go and think that you need to just grab anybody or anybody that says, oh, girl, that sounds so good. Oh, I support you, and I'm here, girl. I can be right there for you. And next thing you know, that wasn't who God selected. And everything in you, because if God gives you a ministry, he's going to give you the discernment to sense.
Yes.
Just be Be aware that this is a ministry. Look at it as a child that has to be nurtured, cared for, protected. That means you can't let any and everything in that knocks on the door. Now, am I saying if it's a church, you turn people away? No, I'm talking about your inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about who you walk with. Okay, I'm moving on. Well, that wasn't intended.
Go ahead. That was from God. That was from God. We received that. That was beautiful. Verse 12. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him.
Stop right Many there in the for a second. I want to bring something else up. Thank you, Jesus. When we are in a process, a lot of times you are not going to recognize what God is doing. There can be confusion, misunderstanding, because you don't know, you don't understand the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Every one of us right now, and those that will be later under the sound of this message, whatever God is doing in your life, all you have is a glimpse of it.
Yes.
And maybe he's blessed you with a vision of what it'll look like complete, but you do not understand the process. You know there is a process, but understanding the process can look very, very, very strange. This is Jesus the Christ, and his disciples still don't quite understand yet, because there's things God doesn't reveal to you until it's time. So Jesus has chosen to sit on a donkey's and riding to town on a donkey. Where's all the glory? And his disciples are saying, well, he's getting ready to become the king of the Jews. At least it's starting. The people, look at the people. They're starting to worship him. But the disciples don't understand what they're looking at. They're looking at just fulfillment of scripture. This is not going to end like they think it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we're in process of coming into what God has for us, a lot of times there's going to be setbacks, big setbacks.
Yes.
Things that look like they're going smooth, and boy, we're almost there. It's happening right now. And then there's another 2, 3, 4 year delay.
It is preaching.
Soon as Jesus called those disciples and they heard the power of his words, I'm sure, and the miracles, signs, and wonders that he came with, I'm sure they thought any minute now we're going to be, you know, hey, overthrow Rome, and we're going to be in positions of power, and we're taking this city down. That wasn't the intent at all. So you can think you know what God is doing, but just a FYI, you don't.
Amen.
And even with all the scripture that prophesied this very thing, it was still hidden from the eyes of his disciples. I can't imagine that they hadn't, you know, been exposed to these prophecies at some point. But it didn't come into clear vision until the Lord had already died and rose again. Then they began to understand that these things, oh, remember that was written. Oh, that's what that donkey was about. So in your ministry, it's not going to be very different. Things may look one way and God may have a whole nother, you know, sidestep for you. And the plan involves you going through the fire. Ouch. The plan involves you going through the fire. Because in order for you to develop, this junk has to come off. You have to be pruned. The fire is going to be turned up. You're going to be challenged in ways that you've not been challenged. The more that you have to go through, the greater your ministry will be and the more powerful it will be. Why is that? Because your faith will be secured.
Yes, hallelujah.
You will not be so easily shaken. Your ministry has to have a solid foundation, and that solid foundation is to whom he gave it to.
Yes.
So the only way that you're going to get solid is you're going to go through the fire. Your faith will be tested. All that you thought you know is going to have to be put down. Okay. Keep going.
Verse 17. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus cause Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was with Bethsaida and Galilee. They said, "Sir, want to meet Jesus?" Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Jesus replied, "Now, the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory." Hallelujah. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be aware I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now my soul is...
Stop right there. So these Greeks come in and they are anxious to meet Jesus. And Jesus' response is that unless the kernel of grain falls to the ground, it remains alone. But once it falls, it produces many. What does that say to us? That in order for us to ever be any use to anyone but ourselves, we're going to have to be broken.
Yeah.
I don't know why I feel this so strongly in my heart, but it's overwhelming. We will have to be broken to be used. And if you're willing to allow yourself to be broken, and what does broken look like? Somebody tell me, what does broken look like? What ways can we be broken? What is he talking about, broken? Unless you fall to the ground and you are broken, then much can come from you. Anybody on broken?
broken.
I think it
surrendering. I feel to surrender. First of all, you know, we're a vessel in which we want Father God to reside in us, and in order for Him to reside in this vessel, us the church, us his children of God, He's got to clean out the yucky. He's got to clean out anything that is not of Him.
Right.
And so that process breaks those things that we are so attached to in the world that lives in us. So He has to chisel those things away or break those things away for His work to be done in us and through us.
I'd like to just add to that. I think also with that, and you're exactly right, in that right vein. I think that we also broken, meaning that we have to be willing to be broken, that we have to lay it down and let it be crushed, all of the stuff that we have that we like and desire of this world. That's why He goes back over and over again. If you love this life, you will lose it. If you lose this life, you will gain it. So what life is He talking about? All the stuff that we acquire in this life that we live, every single thing, the things that are near and dear to our hearts, these little ornaments, and this job or whatever it may be, we have to be willing to be totally, as you said earlier, and Tammy, surrender. But we have to be able to be willing to be broken and just let all that stuff go, no matter how dear and near it has been to our hearts, no matter what it is, whatever it is, whatever God is saying to us, we'll just take it all, Lord. Take it all and just give it to Him.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
Did you have something to add, Tammy?
No, I think that's where I was going. I just think when something's broken, it now has to be fixed and healed. If we go along and think we're not broken, then we don't turn to Him for healing. You know, I now realize how broken I had been, and I didn't understand that. But He can't heal us. He can't bring us to where he wants us to be and into our ministry until we do surrender and we let go of that stuff. But in order to do that, we have to be broken. But I was thinking, along the same lines as in terms of this stuff of this world, you know, and not just stuff, but like, you know, for me, it's my kids, you know, and we have to surrender everything, and we have to allow Him to come in there and then just, you know, the Holy Spirit to consume us to the point where nothing else matters, you know.
I'm going to use another word. I'm going to use the word bankrupt.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Lose everything.
Until you're down to nothing else.
Right.
Until you look to no one else.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's broken.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
When you no longer rely on anyone, anything for your joy, for your peace, for your pleasure, for your healing.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes.
That's broken. Now, what does it take to break us to that point? For each person, it's different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Some people, it's a little bit of pressure. And they're like, oh, I can't, please. And we'll go to Jesus, and Jesus will, you know, quickly help them. But then there's a whole nother group that stands a little firmer with a little more pride. I think that men have it even more so than women.
Mm-hmm.
They want to say, I got up, I pulled myself up by my bow. Yeah, I had hard times. Nobody in this world is exempt of hard times. So, yeah, I lost my job. Yeah, my family was burned up in a fire. But I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. That means you are still not broken.
Right.
That means it wasn't enough. The travesties and the tragedies and the pain and the suffering isn't enough. Yes. You need to still yet be broken. You're still prideful and arrogant. egotistical. You still Amen. Think somehow you're doing this, not God. And you're still not Amen. Willing to give the reins over to him.
Father.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That was one of the things I thought of. The broken from those fleshly characteristics that consume us, you know. All those things that get in the way, the pride and all those flesh, we have to be broken from those.
Right. What I'm getting at here mm-hmm. is we're after the inner man, and God uses mm-hmm. external exactly. things.
Right.
It's external things that tend to break the inner man eventually.
Yeah, right.
You start mm-hmm. taking away the things that mean so much to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be your health, your wealth, your family.
Yes. Yeah.
And he doesn't have to go quite so far
mm-hmm.
if you break easily.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But most of us, we don't. Mm-hmm. Unless you are broken, you cannot be used.
Mm-hmm.
If you are broken, you will be used to meet and reach many people. Because in the breaking process is the trials, is the tribulations. And what did he say those do? They make us strong.
Yeah.
It's the trials and the tribulations that will break you down and eventually help you understand, let go of this stuff. It's not important. Let go of this. It's not wise. Let go of this. It's a waste of time, precious, valuable time. Let go of it. Follow me unless you follow him. You can't follow him if you're over here doing this and over there doing that. And unless you're broken, you're not going to be usable. So welcome. And I know James has said this to us. Welcome these trials. Welcome the tribulation. Welcome the fact that Jesus is the Lord's not, the Holy Spirit is not going to reveal to you everything. If he did, you would run the other way.
Amen.
I'm being honest. If I knew how tumultuous this is going to get and has already been, I may have just said, you know what? How about I don't go forward with me? How about I just live out my life like most people? But the trials and the tribulations, what it will produce in fruit is well worth it.
Amen. You see.
And then what does he do? Once it's broken, he fills it up and builds mm-hmm. it back up into a tool that can be used in his hand. So I'm asking you today, are you really willing to be broken? Are you really willing to let the trials and the tribulations that await you, are you willing to let that happen and do its work? So that you can be valuable to so many other people. Okay.
Verse 27. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray? Father, save me from this hour. But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name.
Stop right there. Stop right there.
Yes.
He just gave us a huge nugget. When we are in the midst of our trials, our fears, our tribulations, as we're going through, should we be asking for deliverance? Or should we be saying, praising his name?
Praising his name.
Praising his name. Nothing has come upon you unaware that God did not see first.
Amen.
So he's using the circumstances to make you strong, and yet our prayer through the whole thing is, deliver us.
Yes.
Lord, deliver us. This is too hard. The fire's too hot. Please deliver us. Do not let this painful thing happen. Do not let my loved one pass. Keep them here, Lord. Strengthen them. Heal them again, Lord. But the loved one has to pass. And you have to go through the grief.
Yeah.
And from that grief and the brokenness in that time of grief, how you'll be able to handle what goes through it will be your testimony.
Yes, amen.
Your testimony will help somebody else who's got to bury somebody they love. Where will the power come from if you haven't overcome yourself?
Hallelujah.
You're talking empty. When someone says, oh, your mother passed. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I know that must be hard for you. You know, you have my condolences. But the person's not getting any strength from you. Why? Because the power to overcome is not operating through them. They've never been through it. Oh, but what happens different? I want you to understand, children of the living God, this is supernatural.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But when you've been through it and you come alongside that person and you just put your arm around their shoulder or you just grab their hand and you say very little, if anything, and they'll come back and tell you, I felt strength when you held my hand.
Mm.
Not because of what you said, but because of the power that was released in you when you overcame it yourself.
Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You went through the depth of grieving and didn't commit suicide.
Yes.
You went through can't get out of bed, and then God lifted you out of bed. And then you overcame. And then you began to thank God for even taking your loved one.
Yes, hallelujah.
You begin to see the rest of the picture. They're no longer suffering and all the stuff people say. But until it's real to you, you can't pass it to somebody else. Make sense?
Absolutely.
Amen. Other part of that verse, Jesus knew his destiny. Do we know our destiny?
Mm.
Let's be honest. Do we know our destiny? I don't. All I know is that I'm supposed to do what he's called me to do, and that's day by day. I don't know what's down the road 5 years from now. I don't know. I don't know if I'd be, you know, speaking to people or babysitting a grandchild. I don't know. How do I know? But Jesus knew his destiny. And we should know our destiny too. Knowing your destiny doesn't mean you're going to know exactly what you're going to be doing and when. But knowing your destiny knows that you will be following Christ. And it will be wherever he leads you.
Mm-hmm.
That's your destiny, wherever he leads you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've surrendered, your wherever he leads you is wide open. It's not wherever he leads me as long as he allows me to stay in the spot that I like the most.
Hmm.
Wherever he leads me, as long as it doesn't interfere with, I really like being with my grandchild. Wherever he leads you doesn't mean, it can't be qualified is what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
That's your destiny, is to follow Christ. So the next time someone says, do you know your destiny? Not, I don't know the location, but I certainly know it's wherever Christ leads me.
Amen, amen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
That's your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Will we know when our destiny is completed? Maybe.
Maybe not.
Exactly. There's saints that can drop dead walking out their front door. I've seen and heard of pastors that have collapsed in the pulpit.
Yes.
Did they know that was their last day? Most likely not.
No. Mm-mm.
But whatever they were here to do has been fulfilled.
Yes.
So when will you fulfill your destiny? When the Lord says so. Period. Meanwhile, every day you're fulfilling your destiny.
Amen.
Every day. Mm-hmm. We get caught up in like purpose-driven lives and, you know, seek out what is your destiny. What are you supposed to be doing? How about be led by the Spirit? Mm-hmm. How about don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough of its own, sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof.
Amen.
How about that? How about just wherever the Lord leads you today? Start your day that way. Where do you want me to go today? What do you want me to do today? What are you empowering me to do today?
Hallelujah.
Fill me with your Spirit so I don't miss any appointments.
Amen.
Hmm. Okay, keep going.
Then a voice spoke from heaven, saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he was going to die.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I want to talk a little bit about how even though Jesus is coming into the town on a mule, and all the people are willing to praise him and throw down palms and you know, give him glory, Jesus isn't very moved by that, is he?
No.
No.
He's still saying stuff that sounds all sideways, and what are you talking about? And, you know, unless the grain be broken to the ground. What is Jesus doing there? It's as they're trying to give him glory, which they had to because that was spoken, Jesus is getting it right back into perspective. I'm going to have Richard read a few scriptures and just read them one right after another. I'm not going to stop and comment.
1 Thessalonians chapters 2, verse 4 through 6. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God, to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. Galatians 1:10. Am I not trying to win the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of God. And last, Proverbs 29, chapter 29, verse 25. Fear of men will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe.
Amen. One more?
I think your volume is.
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Is
yes.
The call gone?
I can hear you.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Jesus knew his destiny was to return to his Father. What is your destiny?
Follow Christ.
To follow Christ so that you can return to the Father.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Don't get sidetracked trying to please people, and don't let people poison your head.
Amen.
If Jesus was not solidly locked into what he knew his destiny was, once people started worshiping him, his head could have blew up. Let me see how I can take advantage of this moment. But instead, what did Jesus focus on? Unless I be broken,
yes.
Unless I be raised up, unless I be crucified, I don't care about this walking in on donkey and people singing my praises. Oh, Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, please. Because next week you're going to be screaming, crucify him. You have to get your mind solidly fixed so that you're not easily dissuaded by people. Paul was saying in the first verses in Thessalonians that Richard read, he was talking about, I'm not here to please people. God is my witness. You may like what I'm saying today and you may not, but I'm only going to do what I'm directed to do. Every verse he read was about people pleasing. Don't get caught up in what people are telling you today, because they're as fickle as it comes. Tomorrow it'll be something else. Jesus says, my journey to the cross is still my journey to the cross, whether you guys are trying to make me king today or not. Be careful of flattery. In Proverbs, he talks about flattery, and he talks about it comes at a price. It's not free. So when people are trying to, you know, get you all worked up and pumped up and thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to and losing sight of the God who deserves the glory, if anybody is seeing anything good in you or me, you're seeing the work of God being done in that person. So to God be the glory.
To God be the glory.
Because without that, that person is just as wicked and as defiled as anybody else, starting me. So anything you're gleaning that's good coming from the person, he said there's no good in the heart of man. So that means anything good coming from that person, give God the glory.
Amen. Yes.
And when someone comes and begins to praise you, oh, you're so this, oh, you're so that, just let it go.
Yes.
To God be the glory. Don't forget, I'm on my way to brokenness. I'm on my way to brokenness. That's where I'm going. So whatever you think you see, great. Glad that the Holy Spirit is using this vessel to touch your life. Great. But that's just the Holy Spirit. That's not Jeanette. Jeanette's still in the process of being broken.
Yeah.
And when he raises me up, he will be the one who raised me up. And that will be in the rapture or when I die. Sure, he'll start putting back the pieces and healing you and making you a usable tube. But he's doing all that. Where is your name in it?
Yeah.
Right.
I can't fix myself. I can't heal myself. I can't impart a word of wisdom to you because I don't have any.
Yes.
Anything that's coming out of me is coming from his Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So where's my name in that? Don't let people poison you. Jesus didn't. He didn't let their flattery and their little palms and their, you know, King of the Jews, don't, he didn't let any of that affect him. He kept his eye on what he knew he was there to do.
Yes.
And our eye has to be on what we're here to do, as much of it as we know.
Mm.
I'm going to close there. Thank you for reading. Thank you also, Richard.
Beautiful. Welcome. Beautiful.
I don't know why it was a word like that today. It's not at all what I thought when he told me that I would be speaking on the entrance into Jerusalem. I thought it was going to be something completely different, and that he wasn't. So, again,
we
rest, Holy Spirit
we
says
our faith. Yes.
Yeah, he knows what each person means.
Oh, yes. Amen. I received
any
that.
Comments or questions?
Just so beautiful, just so crystal clear, so crystal clear.
Yes.
He could not have made it any plainer than what you delivered today. It was,
Amen.
He just amazing. So
Amen.
Thank you for being obedient. Thank you.
Thank you for the honor of being able to teach.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Anything else from anybody else?
The thing that I just really take away from the last thing you were talking about is that that's how we have to, I mean, we when we talk about being broken, we always think about, you know, our money or our jobs or our house or this mm-hmm. or that, but the most important things are those things that, you know, get in the way of our walk, which that whole people pleasing that was so, you know, that and all the things that I've been through, those are important because we can't continue that walk. We can't, you know, go on for him and our journey if we get consumed with those. So that was really a word for me.
Amen.
And I noticed that when you said, it's not me, it's God, it's the Spirit in me. You know, when people recognize the Spirit in you, I don't always say, glory to God, give thanks to the Lord. It is the Lord, not I. I just say thank you. And I thank God. I don't know where we end. I know where we end and he begins, but at some point we're supposed to be like him. And so, I don't know. I think it's one thing to say, it's not me, it's the Lord. And it's another to be humbled and say, you know, is it being humbled if you just say thank you? And not always acknowledge God, because God wants us to be like him.
So, well, I guess it's how you process it, Terry, because I feel, and you're maybe you're, you know, better person than I am, but I feel like every good thing that comes from me was him in the first place.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just give God the glory. It's not out of, you know, false humility, and it's not because I feel like, you know, a thank you is not in order, but really, you're thanking me for work God is doing.
Yeah.
So just thank God for the work he's doing. If I've blessed you in any way, thank God for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because left up to Jeanette, who knows? Shut up, Terry, and shut up, Johnny.
I'm sorry,
I
Richard.
I cross that situation too, Terry, where people will say, you know, something like, you know, something you do, and they'll say thank you. They'll say something about God, and I'll say thank you. But what I'll do is I'll add to it. I says, you're welcome. And then I'll say all glory and honor to God.
Mm-hmm.
So I still give him his reverence because he is the one who is good. We're not. We're just being used that he chose to use you or me or anyone to do his will.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think about the angels, how the angels never want any praise. Anytime an angel does something that God has sent them to do, they do it and they just dig on. They don't wait around for any praises. So it's all about the glory being back to God. Yes, we'll say, you're welcome, but praise and honor is all God, and just leave it there.
I agree. Okay, if someone says, Richard, that's a nice tie you're wearing today.
Well, that's a different thing. That's a thing. That's just a thing.
Right.
So, you're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about a compliment that is not a reflection of God's work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
you know
man,
exactly.
I like your hair.
Yeah.
Praise be to God. He's the one who did it for you this morning. No.
Right.
No. And I don't go into a message, well, if he hadn't given me presence of mind, I might not have even combed it yet today. No. No. And I do know, I'm sensing that what you're feeling is that you've run into people that it's almost over the top when you say anything to them. But what I was trying to convey is my heart. Mm-hmm. And my heart, I really don't have a lot of room for compliments about too much of anything, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Because every good thing flowing from me is God's work being done in me.
Yes.
And that's my heart. That's really where I'm coming from. And don't get it twisted. This is not low self-esteem either. This is just lining myself up with what the Bible says about us.
Yes.
This isn't a low self-esteem. Okay. This is just a reality check, and I don't lie to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's good.
And you know when God is, I think, operating in you, when the compliment is so
That's different.
Yeah. And you're always given that moment to praise him, too. Yeah. I always say, Daddy. That was my daddy. He done did it again, girl. That's daddy.
I think of times where I've been in a situation where I've given a person, say, a word of encouragement or something. And the Jeanette in me doesn't even want to stop and talk right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's Jeanette.
Yes.
But she still turns around and imparts into this stranger what I'm supposed to be imparting. The person is, say, touching you, and you can feel strength being drawn from you. But Jeanette would say, what are you doing? What makes you think you can touch me? Start from there. That's Jeanette. But instead, I'll minister or end up hugging a stranger and praying for a stranger on the spot or something like that. Okay? Mm-hmm. So then the person's like, thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, my God. Oh, thank you. And I'm like, I don't deserve any praise on any of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. So just praise God. Thank him. Because I know Jeanette.
Yeah.
I know her well. I'm still trying to keep her flesh subdued.
Yeah.
So all the praise and the accolades, and even times when I felt like it, you know, so I felt like it. I'm as fickle as as anybody else. So it's not always coming from this pure place. And even if today I felt like it and everyone liked the message, yay, that felt so good. Still came from the Holy Spirit.
Came from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a wonderful week. Keep your mind on what was going on this week, this very week. After this entrance into Jerusalem, Jesus went into hiding.
Yeah.
He ends up washing his disciples' feet. He ends up praying for them in preparation for what he knows is coming.
Oh, hallelujah.
So dear Lord, as we end this call today,
yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank
we thank you for your presence.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for whatever it is that you've spoken into the hearts of each one.
Yes, Lord.
I ask you, Lord, for protection, for guidance, for your... Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for your Holy Spirit indwelling in them that will continue to teach us your ways, O Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
keep our minds stayed on you as we go through these days to come.
Yes, Lord.
Remembering the sacrifice that's coming.
Yes, Lord.
That was made on our behalf. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
May God be the glory. Thank you. Blessings,
everyone. Good day, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.